Clanksby Hill. We had a very long, made Norwegian-style sledge.
No, not that.
We battled down, we hit what must have
been. Go and find her.
Where are you going, Master? For a drink.
Okay, you guys want anything else?
Three bus beers and some ginger and lime, please. Six shots of giggle water.
Pete, Earl Grey, hot.
This snake juice is basically rat poison. I've spent my whole life right here in Lackawanna County.
The drink, I like it.
I know, it's great, right?
Another!
To say, stop throwing up numbers. I legitimately got confused. I was like, oh, wait, am I counting? Well, hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going.
Oh, was that? Yeah, okay. Are we Are we good? Are we live?
Well, with that voice, we have, if you guys haven't figured that out already, we have a special guest today. A doctor, a lawyer, a professor, and a podcaster / social studies teacher.
There you go, teacher. Yeah,
there
okay.
You go.
That's good. Yeah, there you go.
And a social studies teacher. I'm not exactly sure what you do in your real life, but we'll get into that.
You could make up whatever you want.
I will believe
everything.
We don't know.
Today we are here with Jameson Cable of the Kentucky History Podcast. Woo-hoo. We have another crossover on our hands, and welcome, Jameson.
Oh, hey, thanks for inviting me on here, guys. I'm excited to be here. Talk a little bit about Kentucky history, but, you know, Star Wars as well, hopefully.
right.
That'll be the next episode.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jameson, I've been listening to your show for the last 2-3 years and just kind of get to know you and basically be like, how'd you get started? Like, what caused this whole thing? And essentially dive deep into, like, what you do, who you are, mm-hmm. and just try to, like, you know, highlight someone who I think is doing some great work for the state of Kentucky and bringing a little bit of, shall we say, diverse subject matter in the podcast.
right. Well, yeah. I mean, even from a podcast standpoint, I always find it really fascinating to have other podcasters on the show because you get to talk shop of podcasting.
Oh yeah.
But you also get to like give somebody yes, on your own show you do gush about what you love, but this is like you talk about the grades that your kid made in school. Here you get to talk about your kid. You get to talk about your baby.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm excited about that part.
The whole premise of like inviting you on, the whole premise of the show is bar talk.
Yep.
Like, what is a bunch of working professionals getting together? What do we talk about to unwind during the day? And if you've looked at our backlog, we are just rabid nerds.
It's true. Okay. Rabies. That's why we're hanging rabid.
Almost pathologically so. And
I like that. I'm adopted. I'm a pathologic nerd.
that's another level, probably.
And while we have definitely talked geek a lot, and we've talked, you know, sort of the geek properties, all the shows on Disney Plus and Harry Potter world. I mean, oh no, I said the thing to William. Oh no.
Oh, Harry Potter?
You like Harry Potter too?
No, okay. I will refrain. Yeah. I will refrain.
He has dark hair. He has dark hair, green eyes, and glasses, and a scar on his head. Of course, he loves Harry Potter.
Man, that scar's glowing right now.
Yeah. The only difference is I'm not being pursued by a homicidal maniac, and my parents are alive and very much in my life.
I mean, have you met
Dallas?
You can
only prove one of those things.
That's true.
You can't prove the other one.
Just say, not a very clever homicidal maniac.
COVID happened and distance working, remote working was a thing.
Right?
Which is hard for an assassin to do.
So you're the one who made the trivia questions all about Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. And I'm not even sorry about it. Not even sorry about it. No. But Cody, you had mentioned, like, yes, we geek out. But geeking out is kind of agnostic to the subject matter. Mm-hmm. And we geek out about a lot of pop culture, sure, but we also geek out. Like, I did an entire Explainer Things episode about knitting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big nerd for knit. But it's we want to like give people a voice to talk about the things that they love, and so that's why wanted you on the show. Next episode, spoiler alert, is our open mic night where we're gonna have Jameson back, and we're gonna nerd out about some other things. So stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned. All right. Well, so just to kind of get started, like Jameson, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from. And
social security number,
birth ID, anything,
date of birth, you know, driver's license number,
name,
blood type, you know, the whole nine yards.
Well, you know, again, thanks guys for having me on, because you know, you mentioned nerding out, and basically that is 100% what my podcast is about, is nerding out about Kentucky history. And you know, we can go on and on about the nerd issue. Yeah, in my opinion, you know, you got sports fanatics. You know, they're nerds too. They're all obsessive about who's scoring whatever points, and you know, go UK, basketball fan, obviously. Real quickly, where at in Kentucky are you all, location wise?
So I am currently in Moorhead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently in Georgetown. Me and William actually grew up in Grant County, and yep. That's how I know Colton.
Yep.
Cool. Yep.
I'm in Montgomery County.
Gotcha. Hey, well, been to Montgomery County and Georgetown and Grant County and all those places, I guess. And well, actually, I've not been to Moorhead. I was born in Rockcastle County,
okay,
which is right, you know, down I-75. If you've been on I-75 going south, you've been stopped in traffic in Rockcastle County. I can promise you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That place. Yeah.
I actually lived in Somerset for a year.
Oh, gosh.
So I would get off in Rockcastle County. I've actually been to court in Mount Vernon. Like okay, I've been into the Rockcastle County.
On the which side of court are you talking about? The defendant or the?
we'll leave that ambiguous for the audience to speculate.
I'm pretty sure they know. They know.
Yeah. So you've probably been behind the Ohio Navy coming through a few times. It's terrible if you get off interstate during Memorial Day or Labor Day, because the Ohio Navy is just pouring through. And you can't get off. You can't get out of the road. I mean, it's just everywhere.
When I lived there in 2018, and there was just a lot of construction and traffic between Berea and Mount Vernon all the time.
Yeah, that's been going on since I was born. Yeah, it actually, I think, is officially out of Rockcastle almost. Like, it's on the very southern tip of Laurel County, which is the next county south. Well, anyway, bring that up. You know, I'm from Rockcastle County. I lived and grew up on the western side of Rockcastle County, and now I live in Lincoln County, which is, you know, literally like 3 miles from where I grew up. But there's a, you know, imaginary line that now I live in Lincoln County. So grew up in Rockcastle County, from Lincoln County, or live in Lincoln County currently. You know, I went to college in Lexington and Richmond. It's been a long time. I've been teaching at Crabwatch Elementary for like 10 years. So I'm getting into that stage of teaching where I'm not a veteran and I'm not a new person. I'm in the middle, you know. Retirement 17 years down the road. I can't even think about that yet. you know. So, you know, that's kind of that part. I got 3 kids, a wife. I stay busy pretty much all the time. And somehow I squeeze in podcast stuff, and I read a lot of Kentucky history stuff and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I also watch a lot of Star Wars, which we'll get to later.
Yeah, there we go.
So what was the impetus to start the podcast?
Good question. So when I started teaching in Rockcastle or in Crab Orchard, one of my co-teachers was a guy named James Pope. Super nice guy. You know, one still a close friend. But he retired about 5 years ago, and like, it was one of those things. We used to go out at recess, you know, while the kids were playing, we were talking about like Kentucky history and, you know, how this place was, you know, one of the first places. And, you know, Crab Orchard is pretty rich in history. Lincoln County is very rich in early Kentucky history. So we would talk about all that stuff.
I mean, Lincoln County is one of the first 3 original counties in the state.
Hey, listen, he knows some stats.
There you go. There you go.
It was Jefferson, Fayette, and Lincoln.
Bingo. Wow. 5 points for you. 5 points for Gryffindor.
Yes. He even got the house right.
He even got the house right. Yeah.
We got Gryffindor and 2 Hufflepuffs.
Okay. Yep. Gotcha. I'll keep that in mind. All right. Well, so, well, this is a side note. Teaching, I would always read, or I still read the Harry Potter books to my students. I don't know if y'all do have kids?
I have one. Yeah.
One.
Got married in October. Literally not enough time has passed for me to do that.
True.
And now listen.
Well, it wasn't a shotgun wedding.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, I give my students points for Class Dojo. It's like a teaching app. You give them points and I put them into Hogwarts House.
Yes.
And like, you know.
Nice.
Yes.
William goes out of his way to reference Harry Potter in every single episode.
And I didn't even have to today.
Yeah, yes. His tail is wagging right
now. When I'm doing a podcast and like I throw in a reference to like some sort of, you know, Harry Potter or Star Wars or, you know, even a Game of Thrones thing or something, and the person that's on like gets it, you know, it's so cool. It's like, yes, I go. Because nothing against the people that do come on my show. They tend to be a little older and they don't necessarily get, you know, my references, and that's okay.
Your guests are generally like the local town historian, the old dude that sits on the courthouse bench and remembers everything, even the stuff before they were born.
Yeah, so basically, right. I could go and do my podcast at local Dairy Queens or in early in the morning, maybe a McDonald's.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. You
know? Okay. As much as I would like to continue talking about Harry Potter all day, every day, into infinity, a podcast. What drew you to that medium?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people tell me I have a face for radio. So
same. That was the first thing. Same to us.
Same. That's
I think you have found your people.
So it was one of those things. Like, you know, like I said, Mr. Pope had retired. We used to have all these great conversations and all this, and so we kind of wanted to find a way to kind of keep meeting up. You know, he lived in Nicholsville. I still lived in, you know, Crab Orchard, the Lincoln County area. So I was like, hey man, you know, let's start a podcast. And he's like, what's a podcast? Because he's one of those older fellas, you know.
Yeah.
And it was really funny that I probably haven't shared this story too much, but like the first time we sat down to do it, he was like, are we like recording this? And I was like, yeah, we're recording. He's like, so you got a video camera and stuff? I was like, no, man, this is just audio. We're just doing audio. I was like, think of a radio show that you can, you know, on your phone. I was like, it's basically the best way to describe it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, okay. I had this bit I was going to do where I was crawling under the table and looking for something. I was like, oh, we might need to back up a few steps and figure this out. And I was like, okay, no, man, we're just going to sit here and talk. But anyway, that's the way it kind of got started. We probably rolled for a good year, you know, kind of getting our feet wet. At first, we called it the Land Between the Meadows. Does anybody know what that means?
I mean, isn't that a play off of the Land Between the Lakes?
So a lot of Native Americans and stuff called Kentucky like the Land Between the Meadows because, you know, they hunted there and all that kind of stuff.
Ah, gotcha.
So we were very clever because, you know, people who want to listen to Kentucky history are automatically going to be searching for that. And about 6 months through, I was like, let's just go with Kentucky History Podcast. That's probably the best direct way we can be. Get people, to Google search. It's going to pop up. So,
and then your analytics just started to shoot up for search engine optimization.
And it's funny you bring up the Land Between the Lakes. I actually had a listener that emailed or, you know, messaged us and said, I'm so glad I found your podcast. I was searching for The Land Between the Lakes and your podcast popped up. And I was like, whoa, one in a million. You know,
there you go. Yeah.
We caught our one fish on that one. But that's how it started. You know, we started, but now I have a co-host, you know, Mr. Pope. Like I said, he was a little older. So he kind of, you know, wanted to fade out. He had other stuff going on. Right now, co-host is David Kirkpatrick, and he, me and him, you know, rock and roll with history, Kentucky related. We want, you know, authors, book authors come on the show too and all that. Had some musicians, trying to keep it all focused on Kentucky and all that kind of
cool
stuff. So
yeah.
Very cool. What is it about Kentucky history in general that kind of drew you to the subject of podcasting, to like wanting to talk about it and wanted to elaborate about it?
Well, there's not a lot of Kentucky history out there that's easily accessible. I mean, there is plenty of Kentucky history, but that involves you driving to a courthouse, looking into a bunch of old records that a lot of people probably aren't too good at. You know, some people do that for genealogy and so forth. And then there's the other fact of Kentucky was a big player in history. You know, a lot of big stuff has happened in Kentucky's history that has national implications. And then there's the local stuff that like people just don't have any idea about that like always has fascinated me. But, you know, hopefully connects to other people. And that's one thing listeners have always said or brought up. We did a Montgomery County history a while back, and Miles Hoskins was the guy, and he's the president of the Historical Society there in Montgomery County and all this. And, you know, sit there and talk for 2 hours to him about all this stuff. And the thing is, you talk for 2 hours to these people, and then that's just grazing the surface. There's so much more in local history. And then there's the big stuff. I mean, do you all know the governor who was assassinated from Kentucky?
William Goebbels?
5 points. I'll count. There's no S. It's just Goebbels. But you Goebbels. Know, we'll take it. But you know, he's the only governor in the United States that was ever assassinated in Kentucky. Wow. And people have no idea that it even happened. Podcasting is a newer thing. I mean, it's been around for a while, but it's getting to where it's more accessible and people are starting to understand that a podcast is on your phone and you can just do it that way. Starting not to get as many strange looks when you say, hey, I got a podcast. Who doesn't have a podcast either? You know, but my audience is older, but podcasts and YouTube, you know, can reach that younger generation as well.
Now, listen, I'm really glad that we did this. The Christmas of 2019, we bought my grandmother and grandfather an iPad that had cellular on it so that we could do things like FaceTime and they could play solitaire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This past month, I pulled open my usage data because they're on my plan. Mm-hmm. My grandfather exceeded my data usage on the iPad. So he goes, well, William, I wonder how to fix that. And I just go to YouTube and I find a video on how to fix it, and I fix it. I haven't cracked that shell open yet of the wide world of podcasts and listening, but I would imagine that I would be getting some check-ins from AT&T going, buddy, are you okay? That's a lot of data.
I was a government major in undergrad, and then I went to law school. And in my final senior year thesis, we read one of the best books I read. And it's basically like, if you want to understand my philosophy and my politics, it's Democracy in America by Alexis de Tocqueville.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he talks about is that America is at its best when it cares about its own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
When it's those local institutions, it's those local people building together and working in that sort of like local community structure. And something that I've noticed is that in the media sphere, especially in the age of the internet, the incentives are towards scale. We talk about these issues, these national and even international issues, or these national big brands, pop culture franchises, and no one's really talking about what's going on in your own backyard, be it news, culture, politics, history. And so I always try to find those sort of like the new media that's actually covering those issues. And yours was one of the first that popped up. And as a big history buff, I'm just like, you know, Kentucky history hadn't really studied since the fourth grade. So
I still remember there was a white-tailed deer on the textbook in the fourth grade for the Kentucky history textbook.
I found that so weird that, like, we learned about it in the fourth grade. How many things do you remember from the fourth grade? I was the exception because 9/11 happened when I was in the fourth grade.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's like, what do you, you know, we learned about it then, and then we just never talk about it again.
Yeah.
And so, in many ways, I always say, like, I've said for years now, it's like, a lot of America's problems would be solved if they started focusing on their own backyard. And part of the reason I really appreciated your show is that you're focusing on our own backyard.
Yeah.
Soapbox yeah. over.
let me climb down off that high horse and we'll keep going.
Well, you mentioned fourth grade. So who's the older brother? William?
William is.
Ha ha! Ha ha! He didn't well, automatically know. Yes!
you date yourself by saying 9/11. I was a sophomore in high school when at 9/11. So when I was in fourth grade, we were doing Power Rangers, original Power Rangers. You know,
yes.
that was
yeah.
But, you know, like you were saying, though, that is a part of it. And I agree with you a lot, especially political stuff, you know, and not to dive into anything like that. But like oftentimes, you know, you think about presidential elections and stuff and everybody gets all up in a tizzy, you know, about who to vote for. But like, honestly, the most important elections are your local ones.
Yep.
Because those are people who are actually going to make decisions that are going to affect you directly. Not that the federal government doesn't in some sort of way, but that local connection can really drive and build the bonds that I guess, you know, help people out or strengthen a community, to say it that way. I would love it to have, like, you know, everybody invest in their local history stuff just because that's my personal passion, I guess. But, you know, there's other things to do.
So in your, like, explorations and investigations and going through across the state, what would you say is the community that has impressed you the most?
Ooh.
That has given you the most interesting stories?
No pressure. They're all listening. Right. No.
Grant County was awesome. Does it have to be specific to county or are we just saying anything?
Well, we'll go for just overall topic, which has been the most
overall
fascinating, the subject that you just made your like jaw drop.
Yeah, because and to preference that, there's 120 counties, so there's a lot.
Yes.
I think at this point, like as far as like a specific county history, we're probably at the 10. We've probably been 10 or 11. Now, some of those aren't out yet, but you know, those are work in progress because, you know, you got to get in contact with those people. And I don't have the time to go to Ballard County right now and talk to some people about that because it is about a 4-hour drive.
Yeah.
If y'all didn't know, Ballard County is in the west. It is west.
The western part of the state often gets forgotten, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because it's just so far out from where all this kind of the central action is.
Obviously, the global thing was a rabbit hole I went down quite a bit. It was very interesting because you didn't, you know, you don't hear about it. I mean, you got Kentucky history in fourth grade and they gloss over the governor getting assassinated. And a bunch of other things.
I mean, if you want to keep kids interested, just that you should have led with that.
Like, yeah. No kidding.
No, I mean, it's hard enough. They got their phones and every other thing. Let's go with the governor who got killed. Start off.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Oh, the irony of this is just crazy. 19th century, 1900, I mean, when this happened. And the Republican Party had two governors in a row. That had not happened really at all. Well, since the Republican Party was even formed, I believe. So then the Democrats were a bit hot, and of course, you know, to preference this, Democrats and Republicans in the 1900s are not the same as they are now, nor were they in 1860 or 1960 or 1800. You know, the Democrats were pretty hot about it. You know, they controlled the legislature and all that kind of stuff, and it was kind of a contested election, a big heated election. The governor that wins the ballot is William Taylor, and there's this big controversy though that, you know, there was ballot obstruction in Louisville and all this kind of stuff, and you know this wasn't a legit election and so forth, and it gets all heated and so forth, and a bunch of people in Eastern Kentucky and these heavy Republican areas are all kind of rabble roused, you know, and they all come up to the Capitol and to protest that you know they're not gonna guarantee this election, they're going to give it to Goebel and so forth. It was a close election, but then out of nowhere they say, you know, we're giving it to Goebel. The day that Goebel is going to get signed in or you know sign, or what is it called again, I'm
sworn in
you sign in to a school and all that stuff. Get sworn in, he is shot from the Secretary of State's office, but he's shot right in front of the old Capitol building. There's a little marker that shows that where he died and stuff. It's really cool if you want to go to Frankfurt and see it. He goes and gets sworn in and dies like 4 days later. Interesting enough, the rumor has it in my family is that one of my ancestors who lived in the Pineville, Barberville area was one of the groups of people who came up on train to protest all this kind of stuff. And it's rumored, you know, rumored that one of my ancestors was involved in the assassination and stuff.
What?
Wow. Pretty crazy. But anyway, they accused the Secretary of State, Caleb Powers, that he did it. He was involved because, I mean, the guy was, you know, shot from his room. So it was very, you know, sketchy. They put him on trial and so forth. He's found guilty, but like through the legal process, he ends up appealing and so forth. And finally, he is pardoned by the governor at the time, which I think was Beckham. And he actually goes and runs for office and gets elected again. But it's pretty interesting. There's a biography Caleb Powers wrote while he was in jail. And it's pretty interesting because you get his point of view and so forth. And there's a bunch of information. But needless to say, the irony of all of this was that episode, or one of those episodes, came out like the first Saturday of January. And I specifically said,
you know,
people talk about politics being crazy.
Oh,
bad, but,
no.
You know, we're not storming the Capitol. And then a few days later.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
You were even saying like it was a contested election. People were calling in to question the validity of the election. I'm like, oh, there really is nothing new under heaven.
Yeah, right. We were due.
We were due. You talk about it like it's one of those like big, like cataclysmic events that just drops the population by 20%. Jeez.
So yeah, pretty crazy stuff, and it's all over the county or the state. If I want to be specific, and of course I'll talk about Rockcastle, that's where I'm from. But like a lot of counties in Kentucky had their courthouses burned.
Mm, yeah,
a lot of them during the Civil War, because you'd have the Union or the South come in, and they would just, you know, whoever's in control, let's burn down this courthouse and, you know, raise Cain, basically, is what they were doing, you know. They really didn't have much motives. You had a whole, I think, you know, John Hunt Morgan was, you know, they're just raising Cain is what they're doing, causing chaos. Let's burn the courthouse down. And primarily, probably more Confederates were burning courthouses because, you know, the Union, you know, Kentucky never seceded and all that kind of stuff. But with that being said, in Rockcastle, Rockcastle's had their courthouse burned 3 times.
Wow.
About this same time as the Goebel, you know, around the 1900s. The courthouse burned down and people really don't know how it happened and so forth. And like, you know, these courthouses, you know, back then made of wood, you know, some of them might've been stone, brick, you know, maybe, depending on the wealth of the county. Well, the county judge executive or the previous county judge executive, it is rumored that he went and burned down the courthouse because he, because they had criminating evidence inside the courthouse, so he burned it down.
Oh,
like this is this is some regular like Knives Out scheming.
Right? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like you said, whenever there's like you said, with all the talk of how polarizing and unstable our politics are, we've had our bouts.
We have had a rough history.
So, I mean, you had mentioned that it's incredibly fun to dig into all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On a kind of a microcosm, I took a real deep dive into my own like genealogy and family history. Mm-hmm. And I've realized, and probably with Kentucky history as like vast and broad as it is, there are so many rabbit holes that you could run down with the stories that came from around the state. Like I had learned even in my own family that one of the surnames my grandfather still has that actually came from a woman. She had divorced her husband and she passed her surname on to her son. And so there is an entire line that was a maiden name that became a surname that had been passed down, which I
cool.
There's lots of murder on one side of my family. I won't say which.
Same.
But there's a reason why one half of the family has family reunions and the other half does not. We'll just say that.
Same.
Yeah, and that's another, I mean, just history thing too. And people often will say, you'll send messages about genealogy and all that kind of stuff, and I, you know, your personal genealogy, there's people who do that, you know, You know, I'm not the person to contact if you want to do your genealogy. You know, now, if you get a good story about your genealogy and some, yeah, that I can take that. But same, like my mom is big time into history and genealogy and that sort of stuff, and like just getting that traced back. You know, on the gentry side of my family, a Revolutionary War veteran got a land grant. You know, came over here, settled in and around Rockcastle, and they've been there since, you know. My mom's traced the cable side, you know, to where, you know, in like 1810 or something, they got off the ship in North Carolina from Germany and came this way, you know. That kind of stuff's fascinating in itself. And again, goes to the point of how important it is to have that, knowing where you came from, I guess. And even though, like, you know, in no big scheme does it affect or change that my ancestors came from Germany and England, but it's just good to know where they came from,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we just, this past Saturday, not to put a timestamp on the podcast, but this past Saturday, we just moved my parents back to a farm 2, maybe 3 ridges away from the parcel of land that my 8th great grandfather received for his service, like in the Revolutionary War. And so there's very, very deep roots to that area, and you can tell that they're very glad to get back, because
what's the old line that I never met a Kentuckian that either wasn't talking about home or thinking about going home?
Well, they have 1 foot where they're at, and another one's pointing back to Kentucky. Yeah,
there's just something about this state that gives it a sense of place over anywhere else I've been. That it's just like there's a uniqueness in the locality. And the uniqueness of where we're at, and it just, there's a history, and like you said, it's been pivotal in many parts of American history, and it's a weird mix of Midwest and South, and then the Appalachians are their own thing. They beat by their own drum.
Yes.
I remember when I lived in Virginia, and I went to a Virginia law school, and I found that I was missing home quite a bit while I was there, and I was thinking about home quite a bit, and was realizing sort of the good things that I had. And every time I would, mainly LA, just straight up, I would just come back with cases upon cases of LA.
There you go.
Just keeping you close to home.
Of course.
Yeah. That's the truth. And that, you know, talking to people in, you know, from different counties, and even Louisville, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, you get rural areas and like, oh, Louisville's a different place, but not really. You know, I mean, it's very much Kentucky as anywhere else. And talking to people, you know, we did some Jefferson County histories and so forth, and there's plenty of history in Louisville. I mean, there's loads of things. But, you know, those people are just as friendly. You know, we went to a soccer game, my son's soccer game this past Saturday, and it was in Louisville, and those people are friendly too, you know?
Yeah.
Hi, Editor Alex here. Thank you, Jameson, as a Louisvillian. Thank you. That is all.
It's I don't know. Like you said, it's something about Kentucky. And of course, we're all biased, but I've been to other places and it's not the same.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're all biased. Right. We are all correct. Yeah.
Part of the reason why I became a podcaster is that I've been listening to podcasts for, well, since before there were iPhones, and I'm not even kidding, like we would put our podcast on our iPod videos way back in the day.
Oh yes,
with our click wheels, and we thought we were so cool. You know, part of the reason I wanted to start doing podcasts is mainly just for
antique.
Where did you find that, Dallas?
At least it's not a Zoom.
Yeah.
For context. So when we were talking about our movie bracket and we mentioned Hercules and I held up a Hercules plate, everyone was like, did you just materialize that out of mid? Cody mentions an iPod in Dallas, which is like, oh, I happen to have one lying right here next to me.
It's currently non-functional, but there it is. As of right now, we can rebuild it.
Yeah.
But part of the reason I wanted to do this is just to be able to talk and meet other podcasters and not just feel like the weird creeper that knows so much about you, though we have never actually met. Because I saw a meme that was like, having a podcast, listening to podcasts is like in a conversation with friends, and you're not able to actually talk back on that one.
That's very accurate. Yeah,
it's like being in a conversation with friends, but you are outside looking in the window with your nose pressed against the glass.
That is very accurate.
And it just, I mean, Jameson, it's been a pleasure. I just got to say, you know, we all nerd out, but there are many things we nerd out about. And for me, increasingly, I've always been a bit of a history buff, but that has definitely been pivoting to Kentucky history and no small part to your podcast.
Yeah. Well, thank you, man. And glad you're staying with us, man. You're a long time listener.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. So if you just wanted to kind of like plug, just tell us where people can find you, and we'll definitely put it all in the show notes.
If we are podcasters, we know how to plug.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
So it basically about any podcast platform. I mean, you know, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio. There's some out there. I never put it on there, but it's there. I don't know how that happens, but I'm pretty sure they just like duplicate the feed somehow or something. But somebody once said, hey, I'm listening to your podcast on whatever it was. Maybe it was Podbean or something. I was like, awesome. You know, keep listening, please. I don't know how it got there.
RSS feeds find themselves everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw it coming. I saw the fun fact face flash across his face when you mentioned that. I don't know how that is.
I do.
He like raced up in his chair. Fun fact.
Yeah. And we're on YouTube, and primarily, you know, we also do like side videos, I guess. Well, I don't know if you want to call them side videos, but other videos on our YouTube channel that like, you know, talk about like Kentucky and the Revolutionary War, you know, shorter 10-5 minute videos about like historical people, why a county is named. You know, we're working on one right now about the lost counties of Kentucky. I don't know if y'all know it. Anybody knows it? Any of the lost counties of Kentucky? No?
No.
Listen, I know how much TPA to push to open a clot in your brain. That's what has been forced up here.
I'm going to say, though, 5 points from Hufflepuff and, you know.
Oh, no.
No! Yeah. We're always last in the House Cup anyway. It's fine. We're just going to go back to the common room and eat pastries. It's fine.
I thought you said eat paste.
Pastries.
Well, if I can make a suggestion for a future episode, I would love to know if you've done any research on the Kentucky Constitution. As a lawyer, I would love to kind of do a deep dive into that.
Well,
one.
The big thing about that is there's been about four. You know, they.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they like so. You know, in 1792,
four constitutions. Yes.
Yeah. 1792, Kentucky. You know, started and so forth. I should have asked that question. Surely you all knew that, right?
Yeah.
You all failed fourth grade history, didn't you? So we've been doing like the early frontiersmen, a lot of episodes about those people.
Yeah.
And we're actually gonna be getting into what we're kind of calling the New Republic, and focusing on like those first few governors, and like there was they redid the Constitution like 7 years after they did the first one. I mean. Pretty sad to say, guys, we really screwed up. Let's redo this, you know, that quick. But, you know, new state, they're figuring their way out. But that there is some stuff coming out. We're going to talk a bit about more about that. Do we have time for another interesting fact?
Always.
Did you know the vote was, I think, 19 to 15 when Kentucky first became a state, and they were going to add in an amendment to abolish slavery, but it failed. 19 to 15, and it would have changed everything. I mean, you think if it was that close, if you know, three people would have voted different, it would have changed. You know, changes. I mean, precedent. You know,
there's a provision in our current constitution that I really want to find the history on, which states printing presses shall be free to every person who undertakes to examine the proceedings of the General Assembly. Does this mean that the state has to give us a Gutenberg printing press?
I sure hope so.
That sounds like it.
I want to know. I want to know.
Wow.
That's still on the books. I think you need to cash that in.
I taught an adjunct class at Northern Kentucky University, and I'm thinking for my next class, I'm just going to present this provision up and say, whoever can get this enforced gets an A.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the class is. I'm just like, get this enforced. See what you need to do to enforce this provision. Gotcha, if you can figure that out, you get an A.
Yeah, but like I said, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We do have a TikTok. It's basically just audio feeds from, like, it's like a minute audio feed from the episodes. Nothing fancy. So yeah, about any social media, subscribe to the YouTube channel, all that good stuff. But we have a website too. But like, you know, it's not. You know, you get all the information on YouTube or the podcast feed. So,
Jameson, thank you so much for coming on the show today and geeking out about a topic that you love. Like, it's one of the running series that we have on the show is called Explainer Things, where because we care about a person, we may not care about the topic. Here, go. But I think Kentucky history and Kentucky in general is very near and dear to our hearts. So thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you guys for having me. It's been fun.
Well, if you have found yourself one booth down and you've made it this far, congratulations and or apologies, you know, apply as you see fit. But this round is on us. You can find us anywhere that you'd like to find us on social media at Doctor and Lawyer. We have a Patreon as well. If you like what you've heard and you'd like to support that, it's patreon.com/doctor and lawyer. We are getting ready to, spoiler alert, revamp all of the tiers because we have a lot of extra perks that are coming in that we're going to be sprinkling amongst all of the tiers for our patrons. So you get things like you get the show early. There's a lot of fun stuff happening over there. Join our Facebook group, The Pub. Literally walk into our digital pub with us and let's talk. Let's chat. With that, I'm going to head out of here, guys. I'm William.
I'm Dallas.
I'm Cody.
And I'm Jameson.
Hey! There you go. There you go. We will see you guys next
week. Bye,
everybody. Bye.
Are you kidding? I'm working.
All right, I'll be right there.
And grab the movie. Go, 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 go.
Goodbye, my love. Goodbye, my friend.
You have been the one. You have been the one for me.
I need one snapped in two, which was sad.
My cat is murdering a mouse somewhere, and he chased it over here for a second. That's why I got up, and he's still hunting it, but it was, like, making noises, and I was like, oh, great, that's going to be the bad crap.
I spent the last, like, 5 minutes trying to interpret what you were doing. I'm like, he is either getting ready to grab a snake. He is really trying to hold in a fart. Or he's in a Southern Baptist church and he's got a song in his heart and he's waiting on his turn.
Depending on which way that went, it could have been any of those three.
I mean, he could have been holding a snake in one of those Pentecostal churches and it'd have been a whole other story.
Yeah, there is a darkest timeline where all of those things happen simultaneously.